You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Bottom line, 90% of Americans in Afghanistan who wanted to leave were able to leave. And for those remaining Americans, there is no deadline. We remain committed to get them out if they want to come out. Secretary of State Blinken is leading the continued diplomatic efforts to ensure safe passage for any American, Afghan partner, or foreign national who wants to leave Afghanistan.
Those are the words of President Biden as he addressed the nation shortly after we went off the air yesterday. This is September 1, 2021. I'm going to read you the most important part he said. The most important part he said, because this is the thing that we're going to repeat over and over again. The bottom line, 90% of Americans in Afghanistan who wanted to leave were able to leave. First of all, how does he know that there are only 10% left behind? That's still what number? We don't know. But he thinks maybe the others didn't want to leave. He tried to say that some of them also have citizenship there. They have family there, so they didn't want to leave their family. If they're an American citizen, they could come with their family, and they certainly would go with their family if you can get them safely to the airport. But here is President Biden saying, and I'll repeat it again, the bottom line, 90% of Americans in Afghanistan who wanted to leave were able to leave. But for those remaining Americans, there is no deadline. We remain committed to get them out if they want to come out. Yes, there's a deadline. August 31st. You passed it. You took your last flight out of the airport, Karzai Airport, the international airport. And that's it. We had no boots on the ground unless there's special ops. What are we going to do? Rely on the Taliban to work with the UN? Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing. We're expecting the UN is going to kind of bring everybody a little together for a little kumbaya, and all the Americans who might still be hiding out somewhere spread across Afghanistan, not just in the Kabul region, will be allowed to get out. Some might be trying to escape across neighboring borders. They may make it, they may not. Some may already be in the hands of the Taliban, and if they're in the hands of the Taliban, they may or may not be tortured, but they're certainly in the custody of the Taliban. And in fact, I'll repeat again, every American who's still in Afghanistan right now is a hostage. Is a hostage. And he wants us to believe that 90% of those who wanted to leave left. So do we have a firm number still? Well, here's where they start playing the game again. There may be maybe 500. Maybe 500. Well, we're here looking at one report I've got here in front of me. 27 students from Sacramento were still stranded in Afghanistan as troops left Kabul. 27. They, quote, may be in transit out of the area. The San Juan Unified School District, apparently where the students and their 19 families are from, are being told that the numbers of students stuck in and leaving Afghanistan continue to change rapidly. Also an update on our death count. We had many, of course, killed that day of the explosion. Others died later of their wounds. General Milley says now 22 American troops wounded in that suicide attack as opposed to 20. So we really don't know in addition to the 13 we know were killed, how many of them will survive? We're also being told by one of the top military officers that 20,000 Afghan refugees now housed at 8 bases across the U.S. Someone asked me last night, did you hear 1,000 Afghanistans already been dropped into the St. Louis area? I said, I haven't, but it wouldn't surprise me because we're not being told. We're not being told a lot. But according to Biden, everything's good. 90% of the Americans who wanted to get out got out. If it's your child, your son, your daughter, your brother, whatever the relationship is still there, good luck. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Heat Bad Production.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This is a consistent theme, right? Biden will create the worst possible mess and then act like he's a hero as the arsonist tries to put out the fire that they created and left people inside the house. So, you know, a few things. You know, for instance, when he said that the military wanted to stick with the deadline of August 31st, the only reason that is because Biden put them in such an awful position that it was becoming a problem for the protection of the force. And also, Biden right. didn't even give the military a mission of getting everybody out. It's also worth noting, you could have started mass evacuations earlier, and the Biden administration will say, well, people didn't want to leave. Well, that's because you told them the Taliban would never take over. Mm-hmm. That's because you told them they'd be fine. But that was never true. And in fact, your intelligence community told you that you had between 2 and 6 months before complete Taliban takeover. So knowing that, they still went through with this. So Biden knew that all of our helicopters, all of our equipment, all of these deadly American weaponry would fall into the hands of the Taliban eventually. They knew this before they pulled out. That is an extremely important fact. And they'll deny it, but they absolutely knew it. Now, they didn't know when, and it ended up being a lot sooner than they thought it would. But the fact that they knew it would happen and continued along this plan is an abomination.
Right.
It's such a dereliction of duty.
It is a dereliction of duty. It is an abomination as described by Congressman Dan Crenshaw, Republican, Texas, retired Navy SEAL. He said they were told what was going to happen. His own people told him. And either he ignored it or just decided, I'm going to do it my way. Well, there's a leaked transcript, an audio recording that came out between President Joe Biden and then Afghan President Ghani about 3 weeks before Kabul fell. The Afghan president warning at that time, 3 weeks ahead, of a Taliban invasion. Biden pressed him to change it to perception. Don't call it an invasion, call it a perception. Reuters is reporting this was a 14-minute call between Biden and Ghani on July 23rd, where the Afghan president told Biden, and I'm quoting from the transcript, "We are facing a full-scale investigation composed of Taliban, full Pakistani planning and logistical support, and at least 10 to 15,000 international terrorists." 3 weeks before the fall of Kabul, July 23rd. This was as they were beginning, the Afghan Taliban, whoever was supporting them, were racing across the country from one corner to the other, seizing cities, taking control, terrorizing, murdering on sight. But Biden on the call, again, apparently pressed Ghani to publicly project he had a plan to control the worsening situation in order to get air support. Again, according to Reuters. In the call, Biden offered aid if Ghani could publicly project he had a plan to control the spiraling situation. "We will continue to provide close air support if we know what your plan is." And Biden also again told Ghani, at that time the president of Afghanistan, "I need not tell you the perception around the world and in parts of Afghanistan, I believe, is that things are not going well in terms of the fight against the Taliban. And there is a need, whether it is true or not." This is what Biden is saying. There is a need, whether it is true or not. In other words, give us a lie if you have to. "There is a need, whether it is true or not, there is a need to project a different picture. You need to have a press conference with political figures backing a new military strategy." He said that would change the perception. That would change an awful lot, I think. So then Biden does his success lap yesterday.
"The extraordinary success of this mission was due to the incredible skill, bravely, and selfless courage of the United States military. Now, some say we should have started mass evacuation sooner. And couldn't this have been done in a more orderly manner? I respectfully disagree."
How in the hell can you disagree? Well, because you didn't heed what you were told 3 weeks earlier, that had to be rushed pell-mell in the last few days. People rushing into Karzai Airport to get out. And Biden has said, and now we have to question this as well, Biden said, Ghani said to him, "Don't act like there's an emergency. You'll get everybody riled up, and that will certainly bring the number down. Don't quickly start pulling troops out. Don't do that." I mean, between the two of them, they're a couple of con men deciding how they're going to con the Afghan people, the American people, and the world. Most of us can see through all of this. And Congressman Ben Crenshaw of Texas said, in the end, we got zip.
"We began pretending like we ended a war. And I hope nobody's writing a headline that says, we ended America's longest war. We ended no wars. We didn't lose a war, we didn't end a war, but we did give up a strategic position in that war, in that fight. It will now be extremely difficult to deter or deny terrorist safe havens."
Well, of course, Biden, if you recall, he's always going back, "Well, I got dealt this hand. I didn't have anything to do." Remember Trump was in office and he said May 1, and think of what would have happened if I'd not gone with a May 1. What if I'd said, "We're not going to obey May 1. That's why we need an extension." Trump had put May 1 in because he expected that the Taliban would follow conditions he had set. And he made it very clear to them. You violate these conditions, we will turn everything we have upon you and your people. We know your villages, and we will go after those villages. In other words, you do one thing to harm an American, we will immediately retaliate. And for 18 months, we had no American taken out by the Taliban. There was one American who got killed as the Taliban leaders were invited to the White House for a meeting, and maybe some hothead Taliban decided, oh, the hell with them, I'm going to do what I want. You never know. You have to understand that. I'm not going to give the Taliban leaders as a great authority and that they know everything that's going on. They're like any other military general in any position or even a president. They don't know what is happening deep, 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 deep down in the trenches. But because of that, the invitation got rescinded. And Trump, here's the key about Trump. All of this is happening now at this date. Trump, in a speech, August 21, 2017. Where are we now? This is all September 1, 2021. So you can do the math. He was in office in August 21, 2017, and he said, I knew there was one thing we had to do when it came to leaving Iran. He said we need to seek an honorable, enduring outcome. We can't just pull out. We can't simply just walk away. We have to have a plan in motion. We have to know what we're going to do, and we have to be ready to do it. His exact words were, we must seek an honorable and enduring outcome worthy of the tremendous sacrifices that have been made.
I arrived at three fundamental conclusions about America's core interests in Afghanistan. First, our nation must seek an honorable and enduring outcome worthy of the tremendous sacrifices that have been made, especially the sacrifices of lives. The men and women who serve our nation in combat deserve a plan for victory. They deserve the tools they need and the trust they have earned to fight and to win.
And to win. And if you're going to withdraw, there is a certain way you had to do it. Now, he's going to address that later in this hour and some more in the next hour. I'm going to be joined later this hour by Dakota Wood, retired Lieutenant Colonel, USMC, who's now with the Heritage Foundation, and get his take on what Trump said as to how we should withdraw versus what we have done. But before we go that deep, let me take you back to something else that is on the plate. I mean, this is a buffet. I'm having to choose which pieces I want to get out and have now and which I want to save because we got so many different pieces. One of them coming from General Jack King, who is now a Fox advisor. He actually saw that the CIA, the CIA director, all of them were saying if the Taliban takes over, there will be a significant risk to the U.S. because of safe havens currently in Afghanistan. He said that was true then, it's true now, it's the risk we have now. It's the risk we have out of the mouth of his CIA director as that pertains to President Trump. I didn't agree with him as people negotiating with the Taliban. He was blowing off the fact, well, yes, there was a date certain, May 1, but what was it based on? And Jack King said it was based on conditions that the Taliban had to do. However, when he finally saw the document, here's what he figured was happening.
I read the four-page document that Zal Khalilzai, the ambassador who negotiated that deal, when it was a draft document. I read it in a hotel in Washington, D.C., just him and me. And I told him it was a surrender document. But here were the conditions. The conditions were recognize and reject, reject Al-Qaeda, enter into a partner-sharing arrangement with the leaders in Kabul. Neither one of those conditions were met, despite the fact that the government in Kabul was forced to give up 5,000 prisoners. So if those conditions were not met, Biden looked at that and just blew those conditions off, just like he blew off the military advice and his intelligence advice, and then set an arbitrary date of 31 August.
He said 31 October. He meant 31 August. In other words, Biden just threw out what Trump had set down as conditions. Senator Sullivan has been asking for information. He said, I've been trying to get these details for weeks.
Why did we have this August 31st deadline in the first place? And particularly if we could have moved it to get American citizens out safely. That was the administration, should have been the administration's number one goal. I have not gotten one answer from anybody in the White House, senior levels of the Department of Defense. The only answer that we could come up with is the president, you know, when he put this August 31st deadline out there.
When he put that August 31st deadline out there, he was just going to hold to it. We're going to pick up more of Senator Sullivan and his request for information. Senator Sullivan, Republican of Alaska, and also something else he points out. The whole world is watching. The whole world is watching, and especially our enemies. We'll pick up that part of the story when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. Got a Lincoln motor in it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Our adversaries are going to be testing the United States of America after this debacle, whether it's Russia in the Baltics, China in Taiwan, Iran with regard to threatening Israel. And this administration better be ready and they better be strong because that is coming next.
We need to be ready and be strong because they are going to be looking to test us. And by the way, while Biden is quick to say 90% of Americans who wanted to get out got out, he's not accounting for the Afghan interpreters and their families we wanted to get out that we promised to them as well. You help us while we're here. We will help you if anything goes wrong. We got many out. The number might be close to 200,000 last report. That's good. But here's this one story, an Afghan interpreter going only by the name Mohammed, and if you're giving away his full identity, sent a message to the Wall Street Journal that he's hiding from the Taliban in Kabul along with his wife and children, desperately hoping to escape. And he writes, "Hello, Mr. President. Save me and my family. Don't forget me here. I can't leave my house. I'm very scared." Well, maybe Biden said, that's just another Afghan interpreter, or that we're going to have to lose someone. But this Afghan interpreter in 2008 was an interpreter for the U.S. Army in Afghanistan when he participated in a potentially dangerous mission to save three U.S. senators. Chuck Hagel, Republican of Nebraska. John Kerry, Democrat of Maine. And the other senator, Joe Biden. Their helicopter landed abruptly in a snowstorm in the middle of nowhere in Afghanistan. They called for help before the Taliban or Al-Qaeda or anyone else found them. We've got three U.S. senators now. What do you think they would have done with them? How much would they have played them up, and what would they have gotten in exchange? Mohammed, at that time, was a 36-year-old interpreter for the Army And when that Black Hawk helicopter with the senators went down, and another one did too because of the blinding snowstorm, he quickly jumped on board with members of U.S. Army soldiers and the former firm Blackwater and rushed in to get them out before the Taliban found they were there. And when the rescue team did arrive, Mohammed stood guard on one side of the helicopters using a bullhorn to warn curious locals, don't get close. So he, in effect, maybe helped save Senator Biden. When the Wall Street Journal reporter read that message to the White House press secretary, Jen Psaki said, we will get you out. We will honor your service. We'll see. We'll see. He's still waiting, I'm sure, with many others. And, of course, we have to keep in mind the ones we're bringing in, are we properly vetting them? Are they actually who they say they are? Did they actually assist and help or not? But again, Senator Sullivan, as he was saying earlier, Senator Sullivan, as we cut his bite short earlier, when he said, I've been trying to get information for weeks as to who's there, who's not, what have we been doing? I want to go back through that. I want you to hear the frustration in his voice.
Why did we have this August 31st deadline in the first place? And particularly if we could have moved it to get American citizens out safely. That was the administration, should have been the administration's number one goal. I have not gotten one answer from anybody in the White House, senior levels of the Department of Defense. The only answer that we could come up with is the president. You know, when he put this August 31st deadline out there, the Taliban called it their red line. And unfortunately, it looks like the president bent the knee to the Taliban and said, we're going to keep your deadline and forsake American citizens. I never thought we would see our government, our president, leave people in the most dangerous place in the world and then call it a success.
That's the point. This is a far cry different than Bush standing on the deck of a ship with a sign draped across the back, mission accomplished, when we still had a lot more to do. In this case, we left Americans, and President Biden's admitted we did. You want to hear what the words are and the thoughts from Dakota Wood, retired Lieutenant Colonel, coming up.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned, Ackerman Toyota, for life.
Trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The consequences of a rapid exit are both predictable and unacceptable. 9/11, the worst terrorist attack in our history, was planned and directed from Afghanistan because that country was ruled by a government that gave comfort and shelter to terrorists. A hasty withdrawal would create a vacuum that terrorists, including ISIS and Al-Qaeda, would instantly fill, just as happened before September 11th.
Those are the words of President Donald Trump, August 21, 2017, pointing out a hasty, mistakenly withdrawal would be a losing proposition for us and the price we paid. Joining us now, man, I'm always glad to have on board, retired Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood with the Marines, 20 years, now with the Heritage Foundation, Semper Fi. Welcome aboard, sir.
Hey, thanks. It's always great to be with you. I wish we were always talking about more pleasant topics, yeah, but you know, it's our world. You know?
It is, and that's exactly why I'm relying on you, because I want to bring everyone up to speed. You, during your service of Marine, you served with various operational units, Operation Enduring Freedom. You also a strategic analyst for the Commandant of the Marine Corps. All of this, and as you watch what we've done now with this withdrawal and with the words of Donald Trump still echoing in your mind, saying that a rapid exit are both the consequences would be predictable and unacceptable. Your thoughts?
Well, he was spot on. And, you know, it was 2017. And I think we all recall that then President Trump was pretty adamant about getting out of Afghanistan. So, and, you know, he's very strong headed. If he wanted something done, he did that. So to have him acknowledge the dangers of this hasty withdrawal, as well as the enduring value of the United States being in that part of the world, you know, the counterterrorism missions, keeping an eye on Pakistan and Iran and all the other things going on. I mean, you know, Trump got that. And so now we roll forward these years to President Biden. I know for a fact that he was given four or five plans for a methodical withdrawal that would have gotten all the Americans out, you know, the civilians before the military comes out. It was really thought through, and the White House rejected every one of those and said we want as rapid a departure as possible. So now to hear President Biden say all of my military chiefs and advisors are unanimous in how we went about doing this, that was only because all of the other options had been rejected.
So if you're you're left with that, if that's the only door still you can get through, you got to put everyone through that door.
And you do, and so it's amazing what the U.S. military was able to do in the box that it was given, you know, operations out of Kabul instead of retaining Bagram Air Base and all the other things that have been talked about the past couple of weeks. It truly is extraordinary what America's sons and daughters have done, but it didn't have to happen that way, and that fault lies squarely at the White House and at President Biden. So, you know, the 11 Marines, one soldier, and one corpsman that were, you know, killed by a terrorist attack, that didn't have to happen.
Well,
and it just breaks my heart when I hear somebody then talking about, you know, the heroism and we stand behind our people and all that stuff, when that didn't have to have happened. Right. I mean, it's just tragic.
Here's something else that's going to make you extremely angry. The Taliban, members of the Taliban now are going through cities holding mock funerals with coffins draped with American flags.
And they're parading U.S. military equipment that was captured or given over by the Afghan military. I've also read accounts of coffins being used as transportation devices to take young Afghan girls and ship them around the country in forced marriages to Afghan fighters. There is video and audio of shootings going on in Kabul as Taliban go house to house assassinating people that either supported the government or, you know, the Afghan government or the U.S. So all of these things could have been avoided except for the policy implemented by President Biden.
And I had some of that yesterday about how they're going knock, knock on the door and you open it and you're met by gunfire. And again, you know, For so many on the left say we need more gun control in this nation. We have basically given, 400,000 rounds of ammunition and weapons to the Taliban or Al-Qaeda or ISIS, whoever can get control of it. And now rather than running around in their Toyota beat-up trucks, they're driving around U.S. Humvees.
You know, it's easier to get a weapon in a marketplace in Afghanistan than it is for a law-abiding citizen in the United States to go to the local gun store.
Point made.
What does that say about the agenda coming out of Washington, D.C. and the White House and how it affects the lives of everyday Americans?
Point made.
So, you know, we haven't done U.S. unilateral military operations in Afghanistan since 2017. It's been train and advise supporting the Afghan military. We lost 15 Americans in 2018, 20 in 2019, only 4 in 2020. So we hadn't lost an American to enemy combat fire in over a year and a half.
And during that time, they'd lost 50,000 or so. Yep. Is that about right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Afghan military at the working man level was absolutely doing their job, laying down their lives, supporting their comrades, etc. So I think the criticism is correct that look at the Afghan government, that as soon as the United States left, it collapsed and everything. What does that say? And I think that criticism is accurate. But it is also the case that for a very minimal investment of 2,500 Americans supporting the Afghan military that was actually keeping Afghanistan stable and had kept the Taliban out of power and had prevented the massacre of Afghan civilians and U.S. service members, you see what I mean?
I do.
Yeah, that we're
I do.
Getting strategic
exactly.
benefit for minimal cost, and the Biden administration is ignoring all of that.
And you raised a point. I want to bring up a prior article you wrote, but a couple of things I want to quickly cover. And again, you're listening to retired Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, USMC, now with the Heritage Foundation. And some of the Taliban fighters, and you mentioned Bagram Air Force Base. Mm-hmm. To me, that is one of the biggest parts of the whole debacle. Why we shut that base down, abandon it with the equipment there and not destroying it, although now word is coming out from Taliban fighters are feeling angry and betrayed because they're realizing the Afghan National Army helicopters there have been rendered inoperable by departing U.S. troops. But that was on the outskirts of the city, harder to get to versus Karzai, the airport inside the city. We could have had better protection at a wider perimeter for Kabul Bagram Air Force Base than we did inside Karzai. And in fact, I thought I'd heard that the Taliban offered us, do you want to just encircle and protect Karzai Airport or the whole city? And we said, oh, we'll just take the airport. How stupid was that? How stupid was that?
Yeah, I don't know if you or your audience knows the Washington, D.C. area, but we chose to operate, this is the analogy, out of Washington National Airport, right in the heart of Crystal City, along a river surrounded by high buildings and narrow roads, as opposed to going out to Washington Dulles Airport or BWI, Baltimore Washington International, where you have miles of open terrain around, you got fields of fire, you could have put in, layered defenses. That's what Bagram represented, right? The ability to control your own destiny with hundreds of square miles, two major runways. We could have controlled our thing. And you report is true is that the Taliban were also surprised by the rapidity of their success, and they were unprepared to move into Kabul. They met with the American counterparts and said, either you take security of Kabul, which means we would have controlled everything, or we will do that. And the U.S. administration chose the latter option, thus confining U.S. forces into the interior of Kabul International Airport and forcing then Americans and Afghans who had supported the United States to make their way through Taliban checkpoints and that final security perimeter, created and maintained by the Taliban as well.
Just
right?
Too close for comfort. Yeah. I want to very quickly, you wrote a piece, I want to just go through this quickly. You wrote a piece back in November 2020 when it talked about all the talk about endless wars, basically, mm-hmm. and you were referring to it. You're talking about take Afghanistan. The U.S. military deployed in response to al-Qaeda's 9/11 attacks. Operation began with a few thousand, swelled to 100,000 in 2011, 14, then up and down, so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. We've changed some action, so forth. But as you said, this is not some endless war, some claim, but a shift in U.S. military posture. And the same exists in Iraq, Syria, Somalia, and elsewhere. So where did we go from here?
Right. Well, the United States has dependencies on the world, and the world depends on the United States. So I try to bring things home to our families, work, and jobs. That if we want a good quality of life, free of terrorist threats, if we want to have good jobs that depend on selling things to global markets, you have to have a world able to buy those things and that has enough of a security stability to do that.
All right.
So that's our investment in getting that kind of a future.
Retired Lieutenant Colonel Wood, I thank you for your time as always, sir.
If
If you want great Italian food, there's only one choice. Well, wait a minute. There are really three choices, but all of them are Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now the streets of St. Charles. Visit any of them. Visit all of them. Cafe Napoli, family owned since 1989. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I never thought we would see our government, our president, leave people in the most dangerous place in the world and then call it a success.
What the Taliban wants is to humiliate us. They have beaten us on the battlefield because we surrendered preemptively. We have no leverage. And for the president to go on TV last night and to call this an extraordinary success was shameful. It will go down as the lie of the decade.
The lie of the decade. Now, those words are coming from a couple different members of Congress. In the order of what they appeared, you had Senator, Congressman Mike Gallagher, Republican of Wisconsin, then followed by Senator Dan Sullivan, Republican of Alaska. Where Gallagher was saying, we never thought we'd do something like that and call it success. And then Sullivan saying, this is supposed to be a victory. This is going to go down as a worst lie ever. And it continues. And they're going to continue because they have to spin it that way. They don't have any option. They have created this mess. And yet, got to go back to that one quote from President Trump yesterday. The bottom line, 90% of Americans in Afghanistan who wanted to leave were able to leave. Right. I believe that. Right. You? You believe that? I want to play poker with you sometime, because I'll pull a bluff on you. If you'll fall for that line that easy, I've got a lot of plays I can do with you. But then he also adds this, and this one's a bigger bluff. For those remaining Americans, there is no deadline. We'll remain committed to get them out if they want to come out. Now, how the hell are we going to do that? We don't have any boots on the ground. We have special ops, hopefully, in operation there. Godspeed what they're trying to do, trying to get some Americans out one way or the other, maybe working with some members of the Afghan resistance. But now they've got Taliban everywhere, and they're armed, fully armed to the teeth with weapons we left behind at Bagram Air Force Base. If we're going to abandon the damn base, you blow it up. You destroy everything there. We didn't. You ruin the airstrips. You destroy all the helicopters. All we're hearing right now is from the Taliban, well, they messed up some of our helicopters. They won't fly. Well, those are the ones they knew how to fly easier, so yeah, let's shut them down. But we should have, if we were not thinking they're going to use them, and we knew the moment they heard we had pulled out of Bagram Air Force Base, they would have no air cover, so there's no reason to leave all that equipment there. It's very simple. You take what's called a phosphorus explosive, you put it on the block engine of a Humvee or any vehicle like that, it burns a hole in it, it's unusable. You stuff them into the torrents of howitzers and so forth. You get the same reaction. And then you get the reaction that's happening in Congress. Stand back. You don't know how big this is going to get. If you're driving right now, you need to take a moment, see if you can find a way to get off to the edge of the road and stop. Because what I'm going to tell you right now is going to have you absolutely ballistic. Okay, I hope I've given you enough time. Yesterday, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat of California, who had earlier had made a statement, we pray and are concerned about all of our Americans in harm's way and so forth and so on. She doesn't mean it, not the way she's doing it then. Not if you put it up against what she did here, and here it is. Yesterday, she blocked the House from publicly reading the names of the 13 killed U.S. service members in Afghanistan. Congressman Brian Mast, Republican of Florida, said Pelosi ignored our request to read the names. Instead, she just closed the House down. We gaveled in, had a prayer, said the Pledge of Allegiance, took a moment of silence with pretty much all the Republican veterans. Then we asked to be recognized to read names. They did not acknowledge us. They just closed the House down. Even Carlos Jimenez, Republican of Florida, had a rhetorical question whether Pelosi is attempting to, quote, cover up the Afghan debacle by not allowing the names to be read publicly. He said, how badly do Pelosi and House Democrats want to cover this up? They just blocked members of Congress from reading the names of servicemen, members who sacrificed their lives in Afghanistan last week. Now, you want to read the lives on Black Lives Matter, say his name, remember his name. You want to do all that? Oh, you're fine. But does she know that among these Marines killed, I believe there was one woman. I believe there's also one or more of soldiers, Marines of color, or different heritage originally. Unacceptable. Unacceptable to not allow them to read the names of 13 Marines killed in that debacle. All right, you can get back on the road, start driving for a few minutes, because when we begin the second hour, you're going to want to pull off again. You won't like what you're going to hear in the second hour either.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.